Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here, all right? Training camp is underway. Hard Knocks is here. We're going to be talking about all that on the episode. But before we get into that, I just want to really quickly mention, and I'm going to try to do it in my best Liev Schreiber impression. He is the narrator of Hard Knocks, of course. But anyways, HBO Sports and NFL Films are partnering with the Detroit Lions for an unfiltered, all-access look at what it takes to make it in the National Football League with Hard Knocks. Training camp with the Detroit Lions. This season will chronicle head coach Dan Campbell entering his second season, leading an intriguing mix of young, emerging stars and established veterans throughout training camp and the preseason. Hard Knocks will mark the 17th edition of the 18-time Sports Emmy-winning series and the most acclaimed serialized sports series on television. Stream the new season August 9th on HBO Max, and that'll be every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock on HBO Max. Thank you, everybody. Now sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. We are back, and we are recording this immediately after the season premiere of Hard Knocks featuring the Detroit Lions training camp. Oh, baby. So we're reacting live. We just finished watching the episode, and we're going to get all the reactions to that and reacting to everything going on in training camp up to this point. But before we do that, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Connor.
Hey,
Red Dog.
Yo.
And last but not least, Bob.
Hello, hello.
And as always, our producer, Kid J, is sitting on there, so he may chime in every once in a while. You guys, Hard Knocks, the Lions, featuring the Lions. Going on in this first episode. First of all, it starts off with Dan Campbell and his speech. What do we think about grit? Just as like a slogan for the season, pretty much.
That's
fine.
Fantastic.
You know what I didn't get, though? I didn't get the water thing. You know, like, you're going to drag them in the water. And those, some of those guys, the good teams, are like in the shallow water. But if you grab their legs, you can pull them out into the abyss. But there's only four teams out there. And the rest of the teams are trying to get in the water. But the, I didn't really quite follow that analogy, but it was
did.
Great.
I love it. Didn't make perfect sense, but I understood
awesome. It makes sense without making sense.
You drown
it. It fires you up.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I was fired.
Jason Kabinda was
all that matters.
Oh yeah, the Jason Kabinda face is phenomenal. I had that written down as something of note for sure.
Me too.
Some coaches like Campbell that are just like so fired up that sometimes they go a little too much in their analogies, but that's right, because it's the way you say it,
right?
It's just as much as what you say.
He brings that emotion.
Case. Oh yeah, but grit.
I like the graphic imagery though. Like you grab onto their legs, you hold on to them, and then you take them to the abyss and drown them.
We'll tread longer awesome. Water as long as we have to. Drown him.
Yeah. The room seemed to go even more quiet if it was possible when he said that part. Like when he's like, "But we drowned him," and it was like, "I helped that they had like the music." Like,
"We're drowning him."
Dan Campbell needs someone to do tracks to all his speeches because it's fantastic.
Oh yeah,
he's so good. He's so good.
So that's how Hard Knocks starts off. With that long Dan Campbell speech about grit and the abyss and all that good stuff. But then they get out there, and they talk about Dan Campbell for a little while. And then they get – I think we already saw this before if you've been following it all on social media, but Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn doing all 40 up-downs with the defense.
Oh, yeah.
On day one.
I love that.
Yeah.
They're in the his little story, his baby. Little side story where he almost broke his wrist or something, tripping over the dogs.
That was nice.
It was all good.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, by all accounts, training camp has had a lot of good energy to this point. All these coaches are pretty much in year two. Now, this is year two of the 6-year Dan Campbell era. I mean, just before we even get to like the rest of the episode, are we drinking the Kool-Aid on the energy in training camp so far?
Let me, I just want to say there's a tsunami of Kool-Aid pouring over Detroit right now.
Yes.
And we're all, I think, caught up in it. I know I am.
I don't know about you guys, but a lot of people reach out to me saying, you know, I'm not, you know, Lions fan by any means, but it's hard not to root for the Lions, at least with Dan Campbell. They're a hard team not to root for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At least.
That's the energy they're building.
This is one of the most lovable teams I've ever rooted for, no matter how many games they win. Just like everyone's bought in, everyone's focused, and they're so entertaining. It's just crazy. And like,
Oh, yeah.
Ford Field is like thousands of fans showing up to the scrimmage. You know, I think Detroit as a city is fired up for this team too. It's not just us.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And a guy that's homegrown, went to Michigan. Now he's going to Lions. A lot of this episode focused on Hutchinson to a degree. He gets up there and arguably the highlight of the episode was him singing Billie Jean in front of the team. First of all, let's rate it out of 10. What would you give the performance out of 10? I'll give it a 9.
I'll give it a 9.3. A lot of charisma.
Yeah.
It wasn't off.
Yeah. It gets a 10 cheater. For the...
9.5.
It gets a 10 because of his misstart. Like, that just made it that much more impressive that, you know, he was able to get going.
I forgot about that.
I was...
Yeah, and the way he won over the room, you got it pretty going. It was amazing.
Big Z and I were talking about before. What a weird song choice it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like if you had to give me 100 guesses, that wouldn't have been like my first 100 guesses of a song that you sing like acapella in front of a room of people. It was definitely an interesting song choice, but he did a good job. And I like when he set his signing bonus $23 million.
Oh my God! I know.
Oh yeah, everybody's like,
he tried to say it really quickly.
And what did Malcolm Rodriguez say when he 100. Did his day? He said 100,000. Like
that. Okay. Yeah. What do we think of his?
Yeah, he took an easy pass. You ask me.
It was great.
Yeah.
Love the shoes off.
I love it.
It was
full
good.
Commitment to the performance.
Yeah. What was that, Rudd Dog? Sure.
That's great.
No, I was just kidding. I was saying he took an easy path. He didn't even have to sing or anything. But no, he did good. He definitely, like Bob said, took control of the room. Everyone was in on it, feeling it. It was awesome.
Yeah. I think, going off the Malcolm Rodriguez thing, we talked about it in this podcast before. We talked about it in our text thread leading up to this episode. Just I brought up that there was going to be like this inevitable Malcolm Rodriguez hype because we were talking about how who's our linebacker from last year, Barnes, how they had a lot of hype going through training camp last year. But do we think this is going to last? Rudd Dog, you predict that he getting the starting rotation?
Yeah, I mean, my instinct. What? Yeah, starting. No, yeah, I think he'll be in the starting. Well, when I say starting lineup, I mean if they expect a rundown on the first play, he'll be in there. But he might not be in there if they're expecting him to come out of the gate chucking it or something. But he'll be one of the starting rotational linebackers primarily for his run-stopping ability. I think that instinct seems to be on a different level than like Barnes was too.
I agree.
All around.
Yeah, and he's a quick study. And it looks like Jared Davis is being pushed to special teams if he makes the team.
I heard good things about Barnes.
He showed up a lot in the clips of practice.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Connor. What were you saying?
I was saying I've heard a lot of good things about Barnes. I know we also heard these things last year at camp, but I hear like he's made significant steps just like football IQ-wise and like how he's understanding things this year. I think a lot of coaches are expecting him to make a big leap, which would be huge for that core. But I do think he gets rotational starting roles for Rodriguez.
Yeah, and everything that we heard about Rodriguez in the draft lead up about his instincts and like reading plays right off the bat and reacting so far that's shown up in camp by all accounts. And we saw it briefly in this episode. They didn't really highlight it too much. But really exciting, at least, especially for a six-round linebacker. You can ask for a lot more than that.
That's how bad our linebacking room is. We're excited about a sixth rounder.
Well, what do you think about
there's some proof that
what would you give up for Roquan Smith?
Oh, something.
Well, I was thinking about that. With him wanting a new
Trinity Benson.
You didn't see by any chance. Roquan Smith said he's likely not going to re-sign with the Bears. He pretty much sounds like a trade candidate. Now he's in the last year of his contract, so any team that trades for him is going to have to sign him to probably $100 million because that Darius Leonard got $98 million.
I feel like
I don't know about that.
Other teams have leverage since they know Roquan wants out. Yeah.
Right, but a lot of teams probably want him at the same time. So
right, they're competing. Yeah.
I personally
game changer, man.
He's like, you look at his statistics, it's hit or miss depending on what metric you use, like how good he is. So I don't know if he's
I don't think he's worth $100 million personally.
Breaking the bank.
I don't think the Lions are at that point either where they're splashing $100 million on that type of middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know about the financial valuation, but I'd be pretty damn excited if we swung a deal for him.
Just stealing him from the Bears would be fun because Bears fans are so salty all the time.
He
would like upgrade you said, our Red defense Dog. Instantly.
If it was the right price.
And the Bears have the most cap space of any team in the NFL going forward. So if they don't want to sign him, that I think that says something.
Their GM has made some odd choices so far.
I think you're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. That's not being like biased. That's unbiased opinion.
Yeah.
Like their roster stinks.
Well, I looked at the NFL Network power rankings preseason, obviously, but they had the Bears last.
They're doing nothing to help Justin Fields in year two. Assessment. Terrible receiving core, terrible offensive line. They have nothing.
We do have a superfluous receiver room.
They have Riley Reiff.
How old is Riley Reiff now? He's going to like in his mid-30s at this point?
49 or something.
I think he's
33.
Okay. I think he was in the
I only remember Riley Reiff's best moment was at that Cowboys game where Stafford was screaming at the pitch of a small girl.
Riley!
That was Riley's best moment as a Lion.
But focusing back on training camp here a little bit, I did want to note something as well. If you've seen any pictures of training camp, they I'm glad they went over this too in the in Hard Knocks here, because it's UJ got really freaked out by it. But the Guardian caps that they're wearing on the helmets, this is for linemen and linebackers and running backs, pretty much anybody that has high collision reps. They look like mushrooms kind of on the helmet to reduce concussions. They're supposed to reduce concussions by about 10%.
As long as they don't bring them to game day.
No, they're not bringing them to game day.
I like that the players were kind of freaked out by him too.
Everyone was.
These things, man, what the?
He's like, man, this thing's really heavy. It's like, it's like 0.8 ounces. Yeah. I'm like, that's nothing.
I know.
I'm all for it. If it stops Lions players from being injured in camp, I don't mind it at all. Since they're not putting them in.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't seem to be affecting anything.
I wonder if they'll try to make them look prettier.
I like to. Hideous. Yeah. I like Campbell's observation, though, like, this just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Because the helmets, you know. But I think they're fine, you know. Keep guys safe for the season.
Very true. Something I've enjoyed so far in training camp, I mean, we already talked about how fun it's going to be, but it's still really fun to see, actually see it. It's Sewell versus Hutchinson in the one-on-one battles.
Yeah.
I think those two are going to make each other really good, really, all throughout the season, all throughout their career. Hopefully both of them are here for a long time facing each other in many training camps to come. But I think those two are going to make each other.
From what I've read on Twitter, it's been like a back and forth.
And it's insane.
Yeah. From what I read on Twitter, it's been really back and forth. Like some days, like Sewell's been dominating Hutch. And then other days, like Hutch has like gotten Sewell like really good. So it's a really good battle to see. I hope Hard Knocks covers it more too.
You really see Hutch's motor in some of those videos, though, man. The way, oh my god,
and his agility, like his ability to turn the corner and stuff, just sick.
Yeah, pretty incredible.
Oh yeah, and it's still crazy to me that Sewell's 22 years old.
That's insane. I forget about that.
It just blows my mind. He looks like a 30-year-old, like an 8-year veteran out there.
Right?
It's pretty insane.
Yeah. I like, speaking of Hutch, one of the quieter moments of this show that I thought was really good was when Hutch and, was it Easy? Or they're in the ice baths.
Houston?
He's talking about, he's like, why'd you go to Memphis? He's like, why would you go there? Couldn't you get any other schools? He's like, no, I had these other schools on my list. He's like, that was the right fit. And he's like, why not Michigan? And then,
yeah,
that was I did too. Pretty good. But,
Memphis. Hutch just couldn't get it into his
Who
head.
Was
like,
that
why
the other tub? Was that James Memphis? Houston?
Obenna no. Easy.
Obenna,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Obenna,
actually, he's listed as TCU on ESPN. He's an undrafted right.
Yeah, but he said Memphis
tackle,
on the show.
So. I'm not sure. 6'8", 325. He's 24 years old.
He's 6'8"?
6'8", 325.
That tub is bigger than I thought.
6'8".
Huge guy.
Big dude.
Also, yeah. Speaking of Hutch, I want to note one more thing ahead of my notes here from the episode. He got lit up by Hockenson
on
the blind side.
Oh, yeah.
So, great sighting for Hockenson, the blocker, which we've been reading reports that he's been blocking pretty well in practice so far this year. Now, can he translate that to the game? We'll see. But if he ever can become the complete player that we've hoped he would when we draft him, then that would be incredible. He is in a contract year, so maybe he's extra motivated. I don't know.
I hope so.
He's a good motivation.
It's exciting to see.
Sure. Yeah, another Hutch thing I noticed, too, is that his mom's really hot. And you got younger guys probably think the sisters are probably pretty hot.
One of them was a beauty pageant.
Hutchinson. Yeah, wrong.
Yeah, she won Miss Michigan or something like that.
Is that Ara or whatever? I forgot.
They're all blonde.
Oh, yeah. That's
all blonde.
Very blonde. Yeah, a lot of blonde.
Very blonde.
It's very bright. It was a very bright scene in the sun. With all the blonde hair.
Like a very idyllic.
Probably one of the whitest families I've ever seen on TV ever.
They're translucent.
Yeah, their backyard looked nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice backyard.
So another aspect of the episode. Oh, one more thing on like the actual just football playing. Sewell had a nice block downfield in the episode where he absolutely pancaked a guy. I really enjoyed that.
Okuda.
I'm gonna watch
the Okuda
all again.
Oh, it was the Okuda. I it happened so fast I didn't want to rewind either.
Yeah.
See who it was.
That was the Okuda. Yeah, he pancaked him.
Okuda. Oh, do we want to talk about Okuda now or a little bit?
Sure.
So, I mean,
I'm happy to talk about Okuda.
So, on the cornerback position, first of all, Imani Aworiyeh apparently has not looked great in training camp so far. He's constantly getting burned downfield. And I don't know if that's just how they put him in a position to fail or he's just not playing well. But reports are saying he doesn't look great out there. And he's getting burned a lot by the likes of Shark and Amon-Ra St. Brown and such. But then the other cornerback position is a two-way battle. They're splitting reps, Okuda and Will Harris. Splitting reps for that second cornerback position.
I love it.
What do we think about Will Harris as starting
a
cornerback?
I've heard Okuda looks awesome so far.
Yeah, I heard Okuda was doing well.
I heard he's doing well for a guy that's just coming off an Achilles, but I wouldn't call
him that's kind of what I heard, too.
Cornerback.
Well, I heard he's doing well in general. Nothing about his Achilles. Yeah, that's what I read too.
Because of the Achilles.
I've not gotten the same vibe from what I've read, but
Hey, wait, ask you, Jay. What's your vibe?
No, I'm kind of with Z on this.
Oh,
one.
You got a vibe now?
I'm not getting the same feeling either that he's like killing it in camp. I'd almost say that Will Harris has got the edge on him from things I've read. At this
point. He had a nice tackle on the
barely.
Episode.
I'm not saying by a lot, but I'd say Will Harris right now actually.
Dan
has
said, "Nice way to
and
target
Harris
Will."
Made a tackle in this episode.
I know that's what I'm saying
as well. So.
Look, there's a headline here. Jeff Okuda reportedly looks great. NFL World reacts.
Where's the headline? So there's this one. Several articles out there. So.
The Onion.
That was from the Spun.
That was the Babylon Bee.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm an Okuda copy, but there have been people on Twitter that are...
It's the Okuda family news.
What's that guy?
Jeff Okuda's mom said he looks better than ever.
What I'm curious about is his speed. Like, after an Achilles, sometimes there's a drop off in speed. And people have been talking about him like in the slot at some point, but they're like worried about his like jump off the ball. I'm very curious to see like if that's been affected at all by this Achilles injury. I guess we won't really know until the preseason games start, but that's my biggest question.
I watched something where they had a medical professional on, and he was saying that you can come back, but it's actually primarily the mental aspect to overcome. Like it's you just got to trust it again is going to be really hard.
Oh,
and that,
sure.
And all that tight footwork and agility, that's going to be, yeah, especially like you said inside.
Do you think there's any chance he eventually goes into like a safety type role? Or do you think it's cornerback or bust?
Sure, there's a chance. Early on, it is.
That's probably the last like ditch effort to keep him on the roster.
Yeah.
To see what you got out of a third overall draft.
I was just curious because I've heard people say that before as well, but I don't really think I agree with that.
With what part?
Transitioning to safety.
Like,
wait,
I don't.
Wait, you're saying you agree?
Yeah.
I don't.
Or bust to you?
I don't see him transitioning to safety. I mean, maybe like Big Z said, is like a last resort, but I don't think that's like the team's focus or Akuda's focus.
To save his career. I mean,
I agree. I agree.
To save your career, you change it to anything.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Will Harris is moved out of safety because if he kept playing there, he probably wouldn't be in the line.
Exactly.
Like we said, last resort, but I don't think that's the focus.
Yeah.
What I'm
I think they accidentally discovered a Will Harris that he could play corner. It's like they were, you know, by attrition, they had to put him in there, and he looked good last year. And, you know, I think they kind of discovered that kind of by mistake or by accident.
Yeah, I think you're right, UJ. And he kept disappointing at safety, and he would always impress coaches because everybody always talked him up.
Right.
But game time, he never would come through. So maybe they did find the right.
His best chance, anyway, it seems.
Well, boys, if you don't want to root for Lions, you can piss like a puppy and stay on the porch. I just wanted to bring up Jamal Williams' speech because that was also another highlight of the episode.
Yeah.
Really, really emotional.
That was in the trailer. I was crying when I watched the trailer.
I was crying.
Jamal Williams, you know, he's known for kind of the goofy personality, but. He's definitely got some leadership qualities maybe that Hardnocks revealed that we didn't really know about before.
Yeah. I had been hearing some of that already, but yeah, you didn't get to see that behind the actual scenes look.
Yeah. I mean, he really had.
I heard this story that people were throwing him anime posters to sign.
Yes. I want to bring him one. Maybe he'll give us a. Something for the pod.
I thought that was funny, but it is cool to see that he can be serious too and get like really emotional. That's definitely a quality one.
Absolutely. And I do want to just bring up him a little bit because I think he is actually primed to have a really good year because I mean, a big back like him, because that's one thing I just noticed with all these videos is how big he is. And a big back like him getting to that next level more consistently because of good O-line play and tight end play and all that is just going to set him up to have a much better year as well, having to break tackles on safeties and linebackers instead of, you know, D tackles. That's going to be, I think.
I hope so, because I'd really like to see him stick around for another year or two.
Yeah. You
know? I know a lot of times these lifespans of these guys are short, but just what he brings to the table and leadership qualities. And I think, you know, everything, personality alone. I mean, I hope they get to keep him for another year or so, you know.
So UJ, are you saying that the light that burns twice as bright burns half as long?
I said it's half as long as the light is bright, but not as long as a monkey's ass. I don't know what.
You stick your head up the butcher's ass.
What are you talking
about?
It's
on a porch.
No, like, it's the bull's ass.
Yeah, the butcher's ass.
I mean, the
ass.
T-bone. Oh shit.
Yeah. Oh boy. I think I know what you mean.
I know another thing we wanted to discuss here, at least from the episode, was Deuce Staley versus.
Yes, that's my favorite part of the whole episode.
Kind of the essence of the coaching staff, really, as a whole. How these guys are. I mean, both are 20-year NFL veterans. What did they say? It's like their 23rd training camp or training camp. Like, I mean, just insane amount of time spent, and you can see why these guys have stuck around. It's what fuels the fire. Deuce Staley is both
of
them is great, but
They're Deuce, both awesome.
Deuce caught my eye at the Senior Bowl, like when he was. What did he run head coach there?
He was one of them.
Yeah, and his intensity, man, and his just focus, just like was like you just don't doubt that man is capable of anything. Like he just too much energy and confidence, and man. I thought we were coming in. I was thinking Ben Johnson versus AG was going to be the, like the thing to watch, but I didn't realize it was going to be Deuce and AG. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention Ben Johnson in the episode.
Right.
Yeah. I think one of the most telling things, though, is Shepard, when they interviewed him, the linebacker coach, mm-hmm. and he said, he said he cut his hair or whatever. And Campbell says, no, man, I don't want you trying to be someone. I want Shepard, man. That's who I want. I want you. He wants these guys to be themselves and not try to be someone that they're not. And I thought that just said a lot about Campbell's style of coaching and how he believes in his men. He wants people to be themselves. And I think he'll get the most out of them with that approach. And I thought that, to me, was one of the more telling lines in the whole show for me, his comment there.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that was – I thought – I always liked this staff, from what we've been reading and everything and all the interviews we've seen. And this just kind of reinforces that they just have a great staff. All the guys they got, they're all like pulling the same.
Yeah.
Direction. Yeah. And
I'm glad they reinforced all the playing experience too. Like, these are all not just guys who have been coaching for a while, but they've all like actually played the game for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool aspect of.
Yeah. Agree.
What's that?
I think Brunell could still play right now. Did you see the way he was moving the foot drills? Yeah, right. He's doing between the dummies there.
Hey, one more thing about Dan.
He's awesome.
Last year we were making comparisons like Ted Lasso and his positive and like reinforcement over like, oh my god, the intensity and edge in this camp is amazing. Like, I mean, it's not negative, but it's freaking hardcore, and I love it.
He gets mad at you. It's kind of scary. Like the couple clips they show, it's like, holy shit, this guy can rip my head off.
Fucking music.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Kevin, get him, turn off the damn music.
No, but it's serious, and like Campbell, like when he was bearing his heart out there, he says, "This is all I think about is you guys. It's all I think about. It's everything I think about is you. Got to trust me. I have a plan. I have a plan, and you got to trust me." And
he was emotional.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but that's telling, and I think those guys
they respond to that.
Just eating it up, and I know as a former player, college player, and high school player, I would be eating it up too. So how can you not just get into that, as a player?
And he got a D's nuts still getting the credits too. So you got to love for that.
The very end of the
episode. That was awesome. Great little sprinkle.
He did what?
Yeah.
He got a D's nuts joke in at the end.
Yeah.
I think he said that was good. Baloney.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
That gave me a chuckle.
Hey, Rudd Dog, you said something to me earlier, though, when we were talking about
how glad is everyone that we didn't get this while Patricia was here? Like, oh, my God.
That honestly would have been fascinating to see the inner workings of the Patricia.
Yeah, I want to hear, like, Darius Slay get chewed off by Patricia.
Yeah, but I'd rather watch this.
I suppose so.
This wouldn't be here if we had that.
I'd rather watch this.
I want to see Patricia do the up down, do the up downs. That'd be awesome.
No, riding around on his ATV.
I would pay good money to see him do 40 up downs. That would be incredible.
We would have got a lot of the hill. That hill that they made.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the hill.
All I'm saying is, in retrospect, knowing the difference, I'm so much happier that it passed us one more year to this because.
I don't think anyone would disagree. As a neutral party, the Patricia thing might have been fun to watch, but not as a Lions fan.
Right.
No,
I think this is better served for everybody, too, just the amount of personalities.
And they're harnessing it as a weapon. This is all part of their building positive will towards the Lions on a large scale right now, and they wanted this for that reason. Their marketing is on point. The energy, the synergy of the organization at large is on point right now. And that's huge. Like, think about the White Sox and when they won the World Series that year, how great the marketing was, how much the buy-in they got. Like, I mean, I just, the song, and everything. It was just great.
I like how the Lions did, they did their Lions Den series, but it was behind the scenes of Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good, by the way. Yeah. Very good production quality.
They're good at those. And I think they'll learn a lot from Hard Knocks too. Yeah, that crew and stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. I had a couple more notes here just in regards to the episode. First of all, Devin Gardner sighting. I did not recognize him.
Yeah.
Wow. A little bigger, didn't he?
I couldn't rewind fast enough to see. What is he doing now?
He's a...
is he a reporter?
Yeah, he's a reporter. I forgot who he's with.
Shoot, I can't remember what it said.
I'll look it up.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
But I didn't have enough time to look it up, and I didn't have enough time to see.
Preseason TV analyst.
Oh, okay. For the Lions? Okay.
Thank you, Kid J.
Okay. So he's only around for a month. I don't know what he does after that. But I just thought it was interesting. You know, I didn't recognize him. I haven't seen him in a long time. So it was good to see him out there. I hope he's doing well.
That's a big job. Preseason TV. Yeah.
What do they have? One game on the local TV?
I thought was interesting too. Speaking of Michigan people, was when Hutch was talking about the difference between college and pro. I'd kind of like to hear more of that.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting the way the training camps go, because they're less padded practices in the pros.
Way less.
But I was just curious about
college
that.
College players don't have a union behind them. Trying to
I think, and I mean, I'm partly educated guess here because I never ascended to the pro level, but that the higher you climb in like these kind of sports, you'll find that the actual practices won't be as hard or as long or as intense as like your high school practice when you're just doing, you know, 8 in the box drills over and over again at the end of the practice. Like, it gets much more intelligent and design, and you get the most.
Yeah, in high school, you don't have a team of nutritionists, you know, like meticulously shaping your diet and like all this other crazy stuff you have in the NFL.
Well, in the NFL, they have millions of dollars invested in your body, so it's a slight different.
But it's a science, you know. They're so smart about it nowadays.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I remember in high school, they just told me to eat more, to add weight. Eat more.
Did they give you the training table too? Or?
To think back in the 60s and early 70s, you know, the guys when they're getting ready for camp, they, you know, a month before camp, they'd quit smoking. And, then they'd go out and start running a couple of miles a day, you know, and maybe hit the weight room a few times, you know.
If they quit smoking.
That's how it was in those days. I still remember that. I mean, I remember seeing a picture, I think it was Doug Buffon or something, with the Bears in the locker room after the game, smoking a cigarette. Just get the shit out of myself. He's all bloody. And he's smoking a cigarette in the locker room. You know, times have changed.
That's
awesome.
Right?
That reminds me of the story that my grandpa used to always tell when a friend of his was at a hotel the night before a game. Who was it? The Bills was there. They were all getting sloshed.
The Giants.
They're getting sloshed in the lounge of the hotel. And he's like, oh, this is awesome. He goes and throws a bet against them, and they just roll over him the next day. They win. Like, could you imagine if your guys went out getting sloshed the night before now? And they probably have, like, nannies and shit to make sure these guys don't go anywhere. You
know? Yeah. It's amazing how much that's changed even in the last, like, 10 years. Like, you heard baseball players getting drunk in the dugout, like, 15 years ago. Like, that doesn't happen anywhere in sports at all today. It's like everything is so ridiculously managed.
Shame.
Mark Burley was what I was referencing there.
Legend.
Such a
legend.
Going down the tube.
Something I want to note that I've read a lot about, and then you saw a little bit in this episode. They didn't go into it too much, but if you notice, go back and watch some of the plays in the 7-on-7 drills and the full pads. Jared Goff throwing the deep ball.
Yeah.
A lot of great reports about him looking good. And
Chark.
He has finally like some talent behind him at receiver. But, I mean, it looked really good in this one, in this episode and reports. So that's really encouraging.
Him and Chark have been feasting.
I saw at least two different catches.
I think that could be a great connection. Yeah.
Hold on. Rud Dog and Connor.
Oh, I just said there was at least two or three shots of Chark for like diving long catches in that montage.
Oh, yeah. Connor?
Yeah. Basically the same thing. I think that Chark Goff deep ball connection is going to be something to look out for this year. It seems like Goff is finally willing to actually sling it, which last year, even in camp, there were reports that like he was not throwing more than 15 yards. So I'm glad to see that's changed.
In fairness, though, he did
no,
not.
No, no, no. I know.
True.
It's just encouraging to see regardless.
Yeah. When he's back there throwing confidently, it's it's pretty awesome, actually. He's really good quarterback. So, you know, we might have done okay here in this regard.
He knows it's do or die.
Last year averaged 15.6 yards a catch after he signed with the Lions, which if it qualified, would have been top five in the league. He didn't play no games.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, have you considered the scenario of the all everyone wins trade here? What if we trade away Stafford, they win the Super Bowl, we get Goff, we have one bad year, and the next year we win the Super Bowl? Would that be like the most epic trade in football history right there?
If the Lions win the Super Bowl this year,
especially in that sequence, though?
We were planning it? If you do it next
year. Probably would.
I mean, that was the whole idea, right?
I mean, I guess. But just think about it in those terms, like how it would actually have played out would be like, that's going to have like a 68-for-60 or whatever by ESPN in 20 years.
You know, it's funny though, but I mean, when we got Goff, it was supposed to be, well, we had to take him, you know, because of the trade and the contract, and we had to put up with him until we get our guy. But he might be our guy. I mean, he really might. And right now, I'm feeling fairly confident with him. So let's see what he can do, man.
I think Brad Holmes
around him. And Ben Holmes, right?
Brad Holmes had faith in him.
I
think he was a big reason they went to the Rams in part.
Well, he was the part of
him being there was what made that.
Holmes was the part of the reason he was drafted.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think they saw him as part of a potential big picture guy.
Yeah. And let's just not forget he's only 27 years old. Right. You know, and sometimes the second, your second chance, so to speak, is your, you know.
Right. Like, think how far Stafford's come since.
Well, what's the word I'm looking for? But that's what gets you over the top. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
Yeah. Whatever word you're looking for, I agree.
Well, yes. And they have an OC
out there somewhere.
I feel like they're finally on the same page with the offensive coordinator too, which they weren't at the start of last year, which led to some troubles. I think that'll be huge to get Goff going right away rather than at week 10 like last year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, they didn't touch on that much in the Hard Knocks thing.
Yeah, we didn't even see the Sun God, Amon Ra, in this one, and I'm sure we'll see plenty of him in the upcoming episodes.
Yeah.
He looks even better, by all accounts, than he did last year. Especially his yard after the catch. They're using him in a lot of creative ways, reportedly they're using him in creative ways. Now, they can't report on which ways they're using him creatively, but I imagine that involves throwing, too, to some regard, but a lot of, I'm sure, like, a Debo Samuel role.
Did you guys read that there's a documentary crew that's been following him around? Because he's like the number one star in Germany.
Because
Amon Ra's, his mom's German, and some guy in Germany figured that out. And
that's
amazing.
Like, I can't wait to see the video.
NFL's playing again in Germany this year. So
I hope we have some German listeners to this podcast. You know, I wonder what our numbers are in Berlin and Munich.
Yeah, I'll have to go dig into it. I'm looking at the countries.
Visas as just in some Germans list.
Man, he's gonna feast this year with all that out talent we added to the perimeter. Like, look what he's
some guy out there is like my 99 Stephus Webup makes a team.
Yeah. We have ways of catching balls.
Oh, man, if this offensive line could stay healthy with this wide receiver crew, and Jared Goff can produce like we hope he can, this could be a top 10 unit.
Top five, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But, all right.
Yeah, one other note about that line, I guess Ragnow's been ridiculously good, too, in this camp. McNeil was talking about him, like how – great he is. Like,
by the way, Taylor Decker and me have something in common in that room in the show tonight. He said, you know, I got these clothes I just really like, but they don't fit me, you know, so I'm waiting till Sunday when I can fit into them again. And I have clothes like that too that I say when I lose 30 or 40 pounds I plan on wearing them again. So I thought that was pretty cool. Me and him
he's just a man.
That's fantastic.
You don't know Z. You're too young yet to realize that. But when you get older,
well,
I understand.
265 in college, and then after like 4 months after college, I weighed 225. So I almost can't fit in anything that I wore in college. I gotta like rebuy all my college gear to represent still around in public. But I know at least. I didn't have any clothes waiting for me, though, because I was always kind of bigger. Anyways.
Anyway, I thought that was cool.
I wanted to also note two more things just in regard to training camp. That was not mentioned in the episode. Austin Bryant has been crushing it in camp. Known to kind of as like a bubble guy, but all reports indicate like I don't know how they could cut this guy based on how he's looked in camp.
Yeah.
He continued to make plays in the backfield, which is exactly what they're looking for. A lot of praise from the coaches as well. So I don't know if anybody else had anything to add about, but a good rotational piece.
Just been waiting for him to be healthy all the time, you know? That's the thing.
Well, my early prediction was him not making the team, and it looks like I'm really wrong about that, so which is good.
Yeah.
Good. I hope he's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't.
Doesn't hurt that pass cause that Pascal's out still.
Yeah, I'm not sure when we'll see him.
It
doesn't look like Jamal. I think Jamal Williams won't even be active till like week 5 at the latest, earliest. Yeah, I mean,
no rush, man. When you bring him back,
Jamal Williams. Are you talking about Jameson
Williams? Sorry,
Jameson Williams. Mixing
up my Williams.
Yeah. I was like, did Jamal get hurt? What happened?
Yeah. Definitely mixed them up like 10 or 12 times already this year, so I understand. The names are too similar.
To me is Levi Wuzurike is still having issues.
Yeah.
That is very concerning and not looking good.
The same.
That is. I know Campbell said no, he's on track for where they want him, but I don't believe it.
They want him to continue a back problem? What is that? I don't know what it's on.
Well, he's saying he'll be ready basically.
I know what you're saying. I just thought I read that as well, and I thought it was it seemed like he's covering for maybe some not great news.
Yeah, and they're hoping for big things from him this year.
Hopefully he can play, but I'm with you, Z.
When it's the same injury getting flared up, that's what to me always is concerning. Because, you know, like, remember Matt Glassford? Like, you know, obviously you can go through a time of, you know, being injury prone or seemingly and then leave it be. Remember early in Stafford's career? Like, he was
different, though. He never had those shoulder. I mean, it was caused by an actual, like, play. This is like.
But it's the same injury, right? That's what I'm saying. It's different than Stafford.
Yeah. Oh.
I thought you were Stafford.
Why'd you bring
him? I'm saying, remember Matt Glassford, because he left that moniker behind with a long, healthy career. Some guys, it's.
Well, that wasn't even a real moniker. That was.
Okay, bogus. He was injured for two or 3 years in a row. So, I mean, it wasn't all unearned.
It was different injuries, different shoulders.
Because of those differences, he was able to leave it behind because they were random injuries. This isn't. It's chronic. That's the problem.
I like it. I'd rather hear a Dan Campbell analogy than that.
All right.
I'd rather listen to Dan Campbell talk on like an audio track all the time.
Can you put it in terms of drowning? Yeah, explain it in drowning.
Oh boy.
I mean,
well, with that injury though, the back thing is that's what's really a back. You know, how long have you been a week back?
About a week, Jay.
Anyway. I also wanted to note one last thing about the kicker battle. Everybody loves talking about the kicker
battle.
Not mentioned in Hard Knocks, but Austin Siebert appears to be leading that, and that is not by my guess, not by writer's guesses. It's literally out of the horse's mouth from Dan Campbell saying that Siebert has the leg up in the competition right now. Apparently Riley Patterson just doesn't have the leg that Siebert has. Siebert made a 63-yard field goal off the crossbar in practice, and Riley Patterson, we saw it last year too, when he was kicking from long distance. He didn't quite have the leg.
That's what Campbell basically said, that if you're under 50, you know, Patterson's clutch, you know, but those longer
field
goals.
That's why I say we drop one of our quarterbacks and keep two kickers.
How many teams are ever run two?
We'll keep Patterson for the shorter kicks and keep Siebert.
That's actually one thing I want to talk about. The quarterback room is really interesting right this year, because, like, Goff's even talking about the first time ever being in like a room where for the same room for 2 years in a row. It's like an interesting chemistry in that room. Like, they all love each other.
Quarterback like room, like Robert.
Yeah, it's exactly like. He says he's never been in the same quarterback room 2 years in a row. Where
it's consistency.
I mean, he was at the Rams for multiple years.
Yeah.
trying to
understand. Yeah, the same people in the room.
Same backup cell.
The same people in the room. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so I mean, I think that's an interesting, like, they're giving him a real comfortable room when they, all these guys are growing together. Yeah. And they're all growing together and they're,
I'm not too high on,
and they're all young guys learning. And I think that could really help Goff grow.
Maybe. I don't know if Tim Boyle's the guy to get Goff fixed, but we'll see.
Well,
that's my hope. I think that's best for the Lions is Tim Boyle never sees the field.
I agree with that. I was more talking about the chemistry in the room than the quality of our backups.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Who was Stafford's backup?
Or last one.
Yeah, Orlovsky and
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore. It's like there's certain things they do that aren't on the field, but they do stuff in the room that apparently helps
Kellen
them.
Kellen Moore
out.
Definitely
so
was
know.
Not.
I think he might have that going on.
He definitely not stay around because of his arm talent. and now he's quickly risen up
to
offense coordinator of the Cowboys already for
the
next couple of years.
So. Quite a rapid ascent for him.
Really rapid, super young.
Yeah, so Blau could be a head coach in a couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know if we quite hear the same thing about Blau that we heard about Moore. But gentlemen, do you guys have anything else you wanted to cover? That was my long list of notes. We covered through a lot. This is training camp, baby.
Yeah.
This is the season's a month away.
I just want to say that it's just great that we're seeing football again and the Lions again. And this Hard Knocks thing is really getting me jacked up for the season. So, I'm just excited about it. I hope the fans are too. And it's great to be podding again because we kind of had a little sabbatical there a little bit. So
I
think we'll be back in action now and excited about
that. We need a podcasting training camp before the regular season starts. We do some warm-ups. Warm up the vocals.
Yeah, right. Let's do some up-downs.
Some up-downs.
With the microphone. Pick it up. Put it down.
Something to note, guys, if you put it, think about it this way. For the all the way up till the beginning of the season, we're going to have both a Hard Knocks episode and a preseason game. So, I mean, we're in the final stretch here, baby. First game Friday, right?
Campbell said that they're going to play their starters for the first quarter.
Yes.
The Atlanta game.
Yeah.
You got to play with
two of them.
Oh, we didn't mention Cephas, Rudd Dog. He survived a scary injury, and then we can watch him get cut on Hard Knocks live.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen.
Oh, man. Cruel.
Ain't going to happen. You already won.
It's nonsense.
Mark my words. So much. Why do you guys hate Cephas so much?
Yeah, what did Cephas do to you guys?
The producers wisely didn't feature him.
It's just about the bat. That's all it is. Nothing
did he
personal.
Kick your puppy at some point?
No, actually, apparently it's looking pretty solid before the injury.
Cephas is up pissing on the porch, and Trinity Benson's out with the big dogs.
Oh my God.
Trinity Benson. Cephas making catch after catch until he got nicked up here. And what have you heard about Trinity Benson? Nothing.
What? No, he's had a great camp.
I've heard maybe a couple.
Like, I hope we get the Hard Knocks dedicated episode just to Benson versus Cephas, like a whole 45-minute episode. I would eat that up.
That would be good.
Yeah, when they cut him, let's have a whole, like,
yeah, when they cut Benson, that'll
be Benson.
It'll be kind of a boring retrospective. No,
Cephas.
But...
Yeah, Cephas walked into the locker room.
Yeah.
Walked out. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I think we're just ripped. Near the end of the episode here.
Did you?
What? We're just getting started.
You have something to read?
No, I don't. I do want to mention though that we do. I'm sure you hear the reading that we put before the start of the podcast here, and that is we're just partnering with HBO, and they're giving us $100, and we're going to use that $100 to do a giveaway at some point here coming up in the next month or so. So just pay attention to that. So follow us. If you don't already, at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on, the episode, the roster bubble, where things project. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid along with us? Again, that's Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. But we'll have a lot more to say about that soon enough. But yeah, Hard Knocks, this first episode, a lot of fun. I mean, Bob and Connor, did you guys like the episode? Are you glad they're on Hard Knocks now that you've seen it?
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I'm not anti Hard Knocks as long as the team wants it, which they did. I'm fine with it. But that's all I care about.
I didn't really see anything in episode that like what another team could use. The only thing was Sewell talking about Aiden Hutchinson's defensive moves. I thought maybe other offensive linemen could see that and like kind of.
Well, the
but I mean that's minimal.
The team gets to screen the episode beforehand, so they must not have thought that was something too detrimental. So.
Yeah. Well, to paraphrase Dan Campbell, let's just keep treading water in the blue Kool-Aid, and we'll drown our opponents in blue Kool-Aid.
We're waterboarding them with blue Kool-Aid.
By their feet into the blue Kool-Aid sea.
All right. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Every week. We'll be coming at you weekly now, all the way through the Super Bowl. So get prepared for that. We have a lot of fun coming up this year, boys and listeners. So thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting a podcast as well. And thank you to HBO for helping give our listeners a little something to follow us and try to win something. So appreciate that. But, gentlemen, thank you for listening. Again, follow us on the social medias. Apple, Spotify, wherever your podcast, please download SidelineReport.com. Also, it's streaming on there. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go. Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.
Go.